Joining me on this edition of Our Town is County Commissioner Jay Bozovich. And Jay, it's been a while since we had a chance to talk, actually before COVID-19 started. How are things going in your neck of the woods there?
They're going really well. You know, COVID-19's been fascinating. Thank goodness I got a Peloton bicycle 3 weeks before it broke out here in Oregon.
So it kept you busy, right? Give you something to do.
I'm probably one of the few people that actually lost weight during COVID.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Hey, let's talk about the whole COVID thing here. And, you know, I've talked to Jason Davis in the past. I believe he's on maternity leave right now. I may be wrong on that, the timing on that. But I know things were pretty tough there. They were pretty short-staffed. And as the Board of Health, the Public Board of Health liaisons there, how has COVID affected the community, and how have things gone as from your end?
You know, I think Lane County has done a spectacular job, and I can't say enough good things about our public health staff. You know, early on in the COVID, the ramping up of our testing capacity here in Lane County, the contact tracing work that they did to try and keep the disease under control. We did really well, although I think some of the metrics coming out of the University of Oregon, where they did a significantly higher amount of testing of asymptomatic people, caused Lane County to sort of be punished, and including the Florence area to be, you know, in the extreme risk category longer than we needed to be. But it's been interesting to watch the pandemic through time and the response as a Board of Public Health. Yeah, we got pretty shorthanded, and the Delta variant was a big peak, but we managed to get on top of that pretty quickly. And we've been seeing a downward trend for 9 weeks now here in Lane County in case counts and hospitalizations. OHSU is now predicting that we'll be at herd immunity in early December.
How do you feel it's been as far as distribution of information, say, to us folks out here in Western Lane County? I know Jason did a great job of trying to communicate with me on a regular basis, but it still seems like some of the information, you know, maybe got lost over that period.
You know, communicating out to rural areas of the county outside of the immediate Eugene Springfield metro area is always, you know, a difficulty. We've done a really, you know, pointed job of trying to outreach to rural communities. In fact, particularly with our vaccination efforts, you know, we understood that, you know, that there were some zip codes that weren't doing as well, although Florence zip code actually has one of the highest percent vaccination rates of all the zip codes in Lane County. But, you know, we understand it's difficult for folks to get to Eugene to come to a vaccine clinic. So we've been trying to get out to them. And there was even one case where a woman got a hold of me about not being able to get in for a booster shot at a recent clinic we ran in the Florence area because the appointments all got booked up. And I'd let our team know about that. And they actually arranged to have somebody come to her home to vaccinate her and her husband and a couple of her friends that couldn't get into that clinic. So there's that much level of effort going into trying to get out there to the communities and also get information out there. But yeah, it's always difficult sometimes to make sure everybody hears the same thing.
Well, I hate to use the word, but I think that's pretty awesome that they went out of their way in order to make sure that someone was able to get the booster. So that does speak a lot for the effort that you all have put in to this thing in here. And like you said, hopefully by December, herd immunity, we'll see this drop. And I don't think it's ever going to totally go away, but at least maybe we'll get a better handle on it as time goes by and things continue to drop for us.
Yeah, I think it's going to eventually become endemic instead of a pandemic. And it'll be like the seasonal flu, where you're going to have to get boosters annually, probably to prevent having serious disease from this. But it's the same virus family as the common cold.
So
I think it's out in our our population is always probably going to be there.
Yeah, unfortunately. But so let's say you had a long list of meetings yesterday, and one of the things that came out of the meetings is the strategic planning for the county over the next several years. I guess for the biennium, is that how you guys are doing on a 2-year plan, or are you going long distance?
We kind of do it every couple years, try and update the strategic plan. Sometimes it might be just a minor tweaking. This time it's kind of a major overhaul they're planning to do, bringing in a consultant to help run the process. And it kind of kicked off yesterday with a virtual meeting. And there's two more, one today at 5:30 and one tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. And all you have to do to find those meetings is to go to lanecounty.org/strategic plan. And that'll take you to the page where the links to those meetings are. On that same page, there's a link to a ideas wall where you can put stuff up on a wall. And there's also a link to provide written comments to the county. And it's, you know, folks' opportunity to help shape the priorities for the county for the next couple of years. So, you know, if your concern is I know there's senior services and medical issues out in West Lane and that are not well provided. You know, if that's your big concern, you know, write those issues into the strategic plan as public input. If it's about rural patrol and crime, you know, we need to hear that. So, it's an opportunity for folks to provide their input into trying to kind of steer that. And our consultant will try and boil down some of that public input. And then the board will, have influence over that. But it's really, this is the time period for folks to kind of tell the county what you want us to be working on.
Now, of course, strategic planning, you know, has to do with budgetary concerns, getting things within the budget that you have. Fiscally, how is the county looking right now?
The pandemic put a real hit on some of our revenue streams, but then the various bills out of Congress backfilled some of those parts of our budget. And there's, you know, money coming through the American Recovery Plan Act that may be helpful to infrastructure and some, you know, one-time expenditures. So the next year or two is looking pretty good. My concern is about 3 or 4 years out for the county as that one-time money dries up. And we're seeing a significant increase in our costs, just like, you know, when anyone else goes to the grocery store right now, their budgets have kind of gotten a little bit tight. Lane County's budget's seeing the same thing with our ongoing costs for people and supplies and energy are all going up for us, just like the consumers. And when some of that, you know, influx of cash from the nation's capital goes away, we're going to have to somehow or another balance our budget. So next 2 years is probably going to be okay. 3 years from now is going to be a pretty tight budget.
Are there extra monies that the state government is putting aside for that long-term prospect, or is this pretty much, it's going to depend on, you know, how things go within the county?
I think it's going to have a lot to do with how things go within the county. And there's a lot of services we provide on behalf of the state, from parole and probation services to a lot of our public health and mental health services. So, you know, the state's ability to budget those too, but I think the state's going to probably see a similar, future in their revenue situation, where eventually some of this, you know, supports over COVID are going to go away, and all the inflation to budgets that's been caused, you know, by printing money and supply chain issues and a few other things are going to catch up not this coming biennium, but probably the biennium after. So it'll be interesting to see how all that plays out over time. But it's a time to be careful about our finances in the county and be careful about not committing to long-term expenditures. and trying to maybe utilize some of this influx of cash that came with some of the COVID relief bills to go back and fix some things that we've always been needing to fix.
Does that mean some proposed capital projects may have to be put off, or is that money kind of set aside and safe for now?
The capital projects that we've actually got scheduled on the books right now, we already had financing for. It's what capital projects we undertake with that new money is going to be of interest. What I'm concerned about is there the desire to not just put a capital project together, but a capital project that's tied with some long-term operating expense, like building a new facility that has to be staffed long-term and our ability to pay for that staff versus replacing or rehabbing a facility that we are already paying operating costs on. And that might actually save operating costs by modernizing that facility. Those are the kind of projects we need to invest in. We need to kind of avoid the urge to build something new that will have to provide operational costs down the road. And that long-term budget outlook is not good to provide those operating expenses.
Does that mean revisiting the county courthouse situation at some point?
Yeah, I believe it does, because that's a project that actually in the long run will save us some money, because we have a very inefficient operation going on there now. We're leasing space around downtown Eugene for the DA's office because we can't get the entire DA's office in the courthouse. It's causing a lot of inefficiency in scheduling courtrooms because the courtrooms are all mismatched. There's some security issues that HVA system for that building is, right out of the 50s, basically.
Yeah, really.
So it's not the most efficient building. So there would be some actual operational cost savings to constructing a new courthouse. So that's kind of one of those ones that fits into that that model of if we construct it, there is no long-term budgetary impact. And that would be a good thing. That's kind of one of those projects that might work. And there's a lot of deferred maintenance. And I think one of the things we want to talk about is our park system here, because that's probably a place where we've seen a lack of investment in capital over the years, just because it's a system that's had difficulty being funded, and it competes with the sheriff's office and the DA and other parts of the county for funds, and sometimes just doesn't get proper funding, and our parks need a lot of repairs and upgrading, and that's right now looking at $25 million over the next 10 years for just four out of the 50-some Lane County parks.
Now, the four of those, are they mainly Eugene-centric? I mean, I know there's been some work done in Mapleton, and we have a few parks here along the coast. But you had mentioned to me before we came on there something about the potential of a parks levy coming up. Is that something that is in the works?
Yeah, well, it's actually been kind of we had a consultant study look at our deferred maintenance for our parks and look at our master plan for the parks and try and figure out how we might be able to finance that. And their recommendation is that we go out for a serial levy to finance our deferred maintenance and try and make sure that doesn't grow beyond that. The four parks that they actually did a detailed study of are Armitage, Orchard Point, Richardson, and Baker Bay, which are probably the parks that have the most built infrastructure that needs a lot of maintenance. The water and sewer systems for the RV campgrounds, the docks at the lakes, and that's kind of why they studied those. But there's plenty of deferred maintenance in everything from Harbor Vista to the boat landings along the Siuslaw. So there's that was just so they could kind of get an idea of what those four parks cost. And then you kind of got to take that, and there's a multiplying factor to cover the entire park system. And in their analysis, they determined that, you know, we just can't make that up by raising park fees. Our supports for the parks have decreased. One of the places we get revenue for parks is car rental tax and transient room taxes, and those, you know, have dwindled away with COVID. They're looking at a possibility of going out for a serial levy here sometime in the future.
All right, and as we get closer to that, hopefully we'll talk more about that. I want to hit one more thing. I'm running out of time here, but redistricting is something that kind of is everybody's talking about right now. It's kind of the thing to do after the census and everything. What is Lane County's the commissioner's responsibility in part of that, or what are you seeing as a result of what's happening now with the legislature?
Yeah, well, our charter requires us to balance our county commissioner districts once every 10 years in accordance with the census. And we are in that process right now. We actually appointed an independent redistricting committee, and they've gone through their process and are moving three maps to the commissioners for picking one of those three to adopt. And those three maps are available on our website. If you go to lanecounty.org/IRC, which stands for Independent Redistricting Committee. So lanecounty.org/IRC, and you can view the three different maps. We'll be having a first reading of the ordinance on November 9th, and we'll be having a public hearing and hopefully adopting the maps on November 30th. So now's the time to go onto that site, just like the strategic plan, look at the maps, and then you can send emails to the commissioners about which map you like. Or you can wait and actually do public testimony at the public hearing. And I'm sure it's probably going to be virtual because we don't seem to be going away from a virtual format anytime soon with our meetings. So you can be at home on the coast and participate in those meetings. But now's the time to weigh in on those maps. And I frankly think that a couple of those maps that kind of dilute the rural community's voice, and particularly West Lane's voice, to some degree, with kind of including too much of Eugene into that district.
Well,
there has to be some of Eugene just to balance population, but when you look at the maps, it kind of becomes obvious, I think.
So, you know, I wasn't going to bring this up because I was talking to John, our owner here, the other day, and he said, no, that's been going on for decades. But, you know, because we're talking about redistricting, you know, every now and then it comes up, well, you know, Western Lane could be its own county. I'm certainly you guys probably hear that from time to time as well.
Yeah, we do. And you know, I've actually looked at the Siuslaw County movement and some of the ideas, and it's really difficult as you split that and look at the property value in that Siuslaw County and their ability to afford the services. People think that we don't spend as much money there as we do in the rest of the county. And I think that that's kind of a false impression. There's a significant amount of tax resources spent in that area. And I think most people that actually go down the road and start doing some serious financial analysis realize that Siuslaw County would probably become a very poor county very fast.
Yeah, we don't want that. Jay, thank you for your time today. I really do appreciate it. It was good catching up with you and hearing about what's going on. And we'll have to do this maybe a little more often.
Yeah, I think so. It has been a long time. Great talking with you, George.
All right. Jay Bosevich, County Commissioner for Lane County. Thanks for tuning in to Our Town. Next month will be December. Of course, it'll be the Christmas season, and we'll probably have a Christmas-themed Our Town and, of course, any other issues that may arise.